Overload to the committee because you have executed our mandate of accrediting the municipalities. We have been championing this, although we have had the media, and we were not happy with your government. We understand what it kind of sending in to. All along we have been complaining that you are not accrediting these municipalities. But unfortunately, it brought back to us as the portfolio committee, because those municipalities, they have to report directly to the portfolio committee, unfortunately, because they receive funding directly from the department. So land division baleka says it is a province, so only province, but actually province I. So I think it will be better for us even to call those municipalities before the portfolio committee to tell us how are they going to spend that budget we have allocated to them. So that is why I'm saying we have no problem in your time frame. With those few words, honorable members, I'm going to hand over to the department to present the briefing.
Honorable Chair, honorable members of the Human Settlements Portfolio Committee, colleagues and guests, thanks for the opportunity, Chair, to present our strategic and performance plans for the next financial year within the MTF period. Thanks for the comments that you have just made, Chair, and we accept full responsibility for that. And appropriately, we will make sure that the progress with regard to the process that you have alluded to will be communicated as effectively as possible with the committee. During the presentation, we will be focusing, Chair, on one aspect which relates to the budget and also to the new USD grant in a form of the allocation that has been made. The CFO is here, acting CFO, Mr. Mbengo. I'm also with the COO, who will also be participating in this presentation this morning. However, Chair, we would like your indulgence, because the USDG grant, which relates to municipalities as well, that you have just made reference to, it's a new grant that will be managed, controlled, monitored by the Department of National Human Settlements, and will therefore request, after our final discussion on our presentation for today, we came into conclusion that we would appreciate if the committee can give us another opportunity where we'll get into details of this grant, particularly because it's new, and the mechanics of implementing it. Whilst we'll make a reference to the budget component of our presentation today, would like a separate presentation on the grant itself to be done to your committee at a time that will be convenient to the committee. Chair, we thank you for this opportunity. Our presentation will cover our vision as a Human Settlements Department, mission and the values and the mandate, which is linked into the legislative and the policy mandates of the government. We'll then also focus and refresh our minds to the goals and strategic objectives of the department that we have still outlined, and also to reflect on the human settlement priorities, the programs and sub-program plans that we have put into our plans, performance indicators and targets, as the committee has also put more emphasis on that. Our acting chief financial officer will also focus on the financial information that is provided for this particular period, as well as some of the key risks and challenges that we think are also critical for us not to lose sight of. Our vision chair continues to focus on the nation that is housed in sustainable human settlements. And our mission chair, which is also informed by our outcome 8, which is an outcome-based approach by government, is to facilitate the creation of sustainable human settlements and improved quality of household life. We have then also derived, chair, our values, our core values, to be based on our constitution of the country, which is accountability, which is critical for human settlements, fairness and equity, choice, quality and affordability of providing our services to our people. Sustainability is a very core value for the nature of the work that we are performing. Innovation in terms of technology approaches that we are adopting with the department to remain a core value, and obviously, chair, to also make sure we continue to adhere to what we believe principles as government. Some of the mandates, chair, I won't waste time, as we have indicated, we have time constraints. Relate to the Housing Act and the Butapelo Housing Accord, the Comprehensive Plan for Human Settlement Development Freedom Charter, the Medium-Term Framework, as well as Outcome 8. This is where we have used our strategic engagement on our approach as we put this strategic plan together. We have outlined strategic objectives for our department. Objective 1, Chair, to provide strategic leadership and administrative and management support services to the department, which is a very fundamental key component of ensuring that you run our department in a much more efficient and effective manner. Objective 2, Chair, to promote human settlement and housing policies, which are supported by a responsive research agenda on a continuous basis, and also to continue to monitor and assess the implementation, performance, and impact of national housing and human settlement policies and programs. Objective 3, Chair, is to support implementation and delivery and build capacity and thus communicate with stakeholders for effective human settlement programs. And this will also call upon the effective coordination and monitor of the implementation of priority projects and the sanitation program as well, which is a critical component of our department moving forward. Objective 4 is to make sure that sufficient funding for human settlement development programs is made available. This will mean that the provision of financial and grant management services is provided as efficiently as possible. And that will also mean the promotion of investment in human settlement finance programs using our public entities that currently exist, and also to make sure that we take advantage of the Home Loan Mortgage Disclosure Act to monitor and assess the effective implementation of our human settlement projects from a financial perspective point of view. Lastly, Chair, is to also make sure that we effectively coordinate our departmental mandate within the IGR framework, particularly if we take cognizance of the fact that our mandate has been expanded, which therefore brings quite a number of strategic players into the fore. And that includes the implementation of the outcome 8-based approach, of which our department is a leading department, working very closely with other public entities, local municipalities, and other stakeholders. So we will make sure that we coordinate our mandate within this framework which has been created by government. So Program 1 basically focuses on providing strategic leadership and administrative and management support services to the department, with the main objective of ensuring that we provide corporate governance services to core business of the department.
Okay.
And
Chair, apologies for the interruption. I'm just wondering if I've got the correct presentation, my copy doesn't have a strategic objective number 5. It is the one that I got in my pigeonhole, but I don't know if the new one was distributed this morning.
It's an addition, Chair.
So I think you should have given us the new version. Let's hope that there's no other area that has been included in this. So we will request that presentation.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks, Chair. Apologies for that. That was one qualitative assessment of the presentation that we did. We will inform members on some other minor changes that we inserted in the document as we were doing quality assurance of our presentation for this morning. My apologies to the members. Program 2 reflects to the provision of housing policy research and monitoring. Within this program, we intend to develop and promote human settlement and housing policies supported by a responsive research agenda, which will effectively assist the department to monitor and assess the implementation and performance and impact of national housing policies and human settlement programs. And this will be to undertake of appropriate research to inform policy development and oversight. As per our new mandate, this becomes a very critical program for us to be able to assess the work that we're doing from a research policy point of view. Program 3, which relates basically to the support, implementation and delivery, build capacity and lead and communicate with stakeholders for effective housing and human settlement programs, which will mean effective coordination and monitoring of the implementation of priority projects and the sanitation program as already alluded to. This will assist in provision of necessary and relevant support to the 3 tiers of government to enhance service delivery, especially with regard to the eradication of informal settlements. As also indicated, we will take advantage of our IGR framework at our disposal in ensuring that we achieve this. And in the process, we hope that capacity building programs will also be in place. Objective 4, the emphasis, Chair, relates to the funding mechanisms that we need to put in place with regard to the human settlement program. And this will mean that we continue to provide financial and grant management services to our respective beneficiaries and also to encourage the promotion of investment in the housing financial sector of our stakeholder arrangement. And this will call upon the mobilization and promotion of financial property within housing institutions and make sure that we take the advantage of the Home Loan Mortgage Disclosure Act as indicated. And in the process, the objective here is to ensure that funding for housing and human settlement loan programs is made available, and the financial and grant management services are also made available to the required beneficiaries. Program 5, Chair, relates to strategic relations and governance. This is in line with the coordination of the department's mandate within intergovernmental relations, IGR framework, which I've referred to. This will also encourage the management of our international relations and good governance practices within the department and its public entities that we work with, and make sure that we provide timely and integrated business information to the department as and when it's required. So, Chair, that's the overall of the summary within the internal processes of the department. I will then ask, with your permission, Chair, to hand over to Neville Cheney, who will then touch base upon the outcome 8 program-based approach, which I must indicate, Chair, that it's worth to note that for the first time in our strat plan, we have incorporated an outcome 8 program, which has not been part of the ongoing process. We are trying to align our strategic plan processes with the outcome 8 based approach, which is a new approach within the department to make sure that whatever we do is aligned to outcome 8, of which this department is a leading department under outcome 8. So I would like Neville to take you through outcome 8, and then thereafter I'll ask the CFO to deal with the budget implications for this particular presentation. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson, members of the committee. As the DG has indicated, members and Chair, we're all aware that the Minister has, on behalf of the Department, signed the delivery agreement, and in that delivery agreement are four goals. Those goals are the accelerated delivery of housing opportunities, improve access to basic services, improve property market, more efficient land utilization. The importance of this, Chair, is the fact that it provides targets, outputs, and the outcomes. And the real outcome that we are going to be measured as a department is the improved quality of household life. Although you'll see, for example, that there are targets. I mean, the one that's been mentioned by the President together in his State of the Nation and particularly highlighted was the one of 400,000 households, informal households, by 2014 to achieve land tenure as well as access to basic services. Then in relation to the improved access to basic services, the second goal, the targets there are in respect of water. Our citizens should move from the current 92% access to 100%, sanitation 69 to 100%, refuse removal 64 to 75%, and electricity 81 to 92%. Chair, we must just indicate that the key responsibility for the improved access to basic services in terms of coordinating and also assisting with funding is the Department of Corporate Governance, but the Department of Human Settlements plays a supportive role, and there's a delivery agreement, a co-delivery agreement that's signed between ourselves and Department of Corporate Governance. Then in relation to the improved property market, this is to facilitate private sector, that's the gap market housing, particularly for people earning between 3,500 and 12,800. There's the financing of 600,000 housing opportunities within the gap market, and that would include a number of aspects related to private sector finance, but also our own entities to provide some assistance in relation to that. Then in relation to more efficient land utilization, there's the issue of improving the densities, curtailing urban sprawl, as well as the more efficient and productive use of households so that poor households must not be marginalized by distance, transportation costs, and the lack of access to our towns and cities. And these outcomes, Chair, find themselves more concrete in relation to what the committee asked the last time. It's what's the bigger impact. It's not what the internal issues of the department are, but what is the department doing in relation to real improved access to our communities in relation to better life. In relation to the strategic priorities of government, I'm not going to spend much time here. The one issue that we need to, and this comes from the medium-term strategic framework adopted in 2009, we're reinforcing this, but in relation to the building cohesive, caring, and sustainable human settlements, and this is another a correction on the presentation as well, there's the National Rectification Program that has also become a priority for the department, and we've included it as a strategic priority. In relation to the human settlements priority, Chair, you'll know that based on the fact that government's focused and said what we should do is take two or three or four, in our case five issues, and do them well. So what are we focusing on? Upgrading 400,000 households in informal settlements, and that should be 400,000. There's affordable rental housing stock. We've got to build 20,000 units per annum. Then there's the National Bulk Infrastructure Program and increased access to basic services. We know, and the committee's been aware of the fact that there's this continual excuse that our performance is not optimum because there's no bulk infrastructure. So part of the Urban Settlements Development Grant plugs that gap from our side. Then there's the acquisition of 6,250 hectares of state-owned land, and the HDA will cover part of that.
in their presentation. And then there's the improved property market. Chair, what we must indicate is that having been given these priorities by government, what we've done is that you'll see that each of the housing institutions that come to the committee, they have been they have aligned their strategic plans to this. So the focus, the entire sort of focus of the human settlement sector under the leadership of the department is to be able to ensure that we in 2014 achieve this. So the HDA will come in and they will plug into the efficient land utilization. The improved property market, there's the NHFC, the accelerated delivery of housing opportunities, including rural households, you'll find RALF and Nurture plugging into that. When you call, and at some stage I would assume that you're going to be calling the municipalities, we've also done that. So we've had an intensive process of, as the national department, filtering this whole outcome 8 ethos and targets into the municipalities. So each municipality, each province has got a target, and they've got to be able to meet that target. The department's performance indicators, and you'll see, Chair, as per the request of the portfolio, we're measuring our own performance in relation to this, having taken into consideration what needs to happen. The number of houses completed per year, and you'll see the projection for 11, 12, 13, that's the columns to the right, the last three columns to the right, it's 120, 130, 140. Then the number of households provided with tenure, we put down this target as 100,000 per year, and we're just waiting for the closeout of this financial year because we've got to meet the 400,000 household target. What we've said is that that's a non-negotiable in relation to informal households. Then you'll see there's a focus and in response to number of household municipalities provided with technical support to implement basic water and sanitation infrastructure, we've got those targets. Over the next 3 years, it's about 120, the 27 large municipalities plus targeted districts and local municipalities. Then the number of rural households provided with basic infrastructure for water and sanitation, that's part of the sanitation program, and you'll see those targets there. 31,000 households for the next financial year, 64,000 for the next following year, and 69,000 and those costings are based on projections that the department obtained. Then in relation to the informal settlements on the second slide, we said the number of municipalities provided with technical support for informal settlement upgrading, because we know that there's a capacity and there's technical issues. So what we've done is that you'll see 16 in the first year, second year 16, and that's part of the national urban support program. The number of municipalities provided with capacity. The point, Chair, here is that although we will accredit municipalities, what we're not saying, you're out on your own. The responsibility still is with the national department to provide the support to ensure that there's municipalities and provinces meet the target. So that's it. Then the number of hectares of state land released per year, and Chair, in relation to that, the HDA will cover that, although and in more detail. So I don't want to sort of belabor that point, and we can engage, or you can engage the HDA on that point. Chair, then, with the DG's permission and yours, Mr. Mbengu will deal with the financial information.
Thank you, Chair. Just before I start, Chair, let me just also indicate and apologize for minor changes on two slides. Basically, as a result of the DORA allocations being finalized recently, there will be we have had to change not this slide, but the second and the third slide. This slide, and then the slide next to this one, on the urban the Human Settlement Development Fund, so those two slides. Otherwise, the rest has remained the same. If you can just go back. The total allocation for the department check over the MTF period is 74.1 billion, spread over 3 years. You will notice that in the first year, 2011-2012, the allocation totals at 22.5 billion, and the following year is 24.8, and the outer year is 26.6 billion. As you will see on this slide, it's spread over the five programs of the department: administration, housing policy research and monitoring, housing planning and delivery support, housing development finance, and strategic relations and governance. All those programs make up the total allocation for the department. Next slide, please. Just pick. You will notice, Chair, when you look on that slide, that the biggest allocation is on Program 4, Housing Development Finance. And it is in that program that we budget for transfers to public entities, as well as for the grant to provinces and local authorities. Taking transfers and subsidies, which is the biggest chunk of our allocation chain, you'll notice that the total of all the transfers and subsidies is standing at 21.927 in the first year of the MTF period, and in the second year it's 24.1, and in the outer year it's 25.8 billion. You will notice also, Chair, that the biggest chunk of that goes to the biggest chunk of that goes to Human Settlement Development Grant at 14.9 billion in the first financial year, and then in the second year it's 15.5, and in the outer year it's 16.4 billion. The Urban Settlement Development Grant, Chair, is standing at 6.266 billion in the first year, and in the second year it's 7.4 billion, and in the outer year it's 8.1 billion. And another grant which was not included on the previous presentation is the Rural Household Infrastructure Grant, which is responsible for funding the sanitation program. It was not included on the previous presentation, and we have now included it, and it is 261 million in the first year of the MTF, and it increases to 479 in the second year, and 517 million in the outer year of the MTF period. You also notice, Chair, that included as part of transfers and subsidies are transfers to our public entities, and starting with the Social Housing Regulatory Authority. You will notice, Chair, that the allocation for them is split into two, the first part being for the operational to fund their operations at 19.3 million in the first year. Social Housing Regulatory Authority. It's 19.3 to fund their operations, and 21 in the second year of the MTF, and 22 in the outer year. And the second one, Chair, which is for RALF, Rural Housing Loan Fund. It's two allocations over 2 years, 49.5 in the first year and 51.9 in the second year. There is no allocation in the outer year. Basically, Chair, the main reason was to capitalize that public entity. And the actual funding to capitalize them has been spread over 2 years. Treasury split it over 2 years. and based on their plans and their request, and that would have been achieved over 2 years. The third one, Chair, is the funding to or transfers to HDA at 89.1 in the first year of the MTF, 93.5 in the second year, and 98.7 in the outer year. Then the next one, Chair, is nature. It's also mainly to also capitalize that public entity, and it's 100 million spread over 3 years. It's 100 million in each, it's 300 million over 3 years at 100 million each financial year. The next one, Chair, is the Social Housing Foundation. There is an allocation of 3 million in the first year of the MTF. The Portfolio Committee will remember that we are in the process of closing off the Social Housing Foundation. Hence, there are no allocations in the 2 years of the MTF period. And then the next one, Chair, is an allocation for the SHRA as well, but this one is in respect of the capital restructuring grant at 226 million in the first year of the MTF, increasing to 47 in the second year and 554 in the outer year. And then the new grant, which the DG has also alluded to, that we will have to come back as a department to give the committee more information and more details on this grant. This is the grant which is transferred directly, which will be transferred directly to metros and the cities. And the allocation is 6.2 in the first year, 6.2 billion, increasing to 7.4 billion in the second year, and 8.1 billion in the outer year. And lastly, Chair, is the Rural Household Infrastructure Development Grant, which, as I have already indicated, is to fund the sanitation program. The next slide, Chair, gives more details in respect of the Human Settlement Development Grant, how it has been allocated to all the nine provinces, starting with the Eastern Cape at 2.1 billion over the MTF period up to the last province, which is Western Cape. I'm not going to go through the individual provinces, Chair. The figures remain the same, they haven't changed. The Urban Settlement Development Grant, Chair, which is a new grant, in this slide, it's being split over the metros to which it will be transferred to in various provinces. You will notice, Chair, that in the Eastern Cape, it's two cities or metros, the Nelson Mandela and Buffalo City. The allocation to that province or end to those particular metros is 926 in the first year, million in the first year of the MTF, increasing to 1 billion in the second year and 1.1 in the outer year, split between those two metros. And in respect of Free State, the allocation is going to Mongaung at 411 million in the first year, 483 in the second year, and 531 million in the outer year. In respect of Gauteng, Chair, we have three, it's all the three metros of Gauteng, Johannesburg, Ekurhuleni, and Tshwane. And the total allocation to all of them is 3 billion in the first year of the MTF, increasing to 3.5 billion in the second year and 3.9 billion in the outer year. And lastly, Chair, in respect of KZN and Western Cape, for KZN is at Thekwini, at 1 billion in the first year, 1.2 in the second year, and 1.4 billion in the outer year. And in respect of the Western Cape, Cape Town will be getting 824 million in the first year, and 972 in the second year, increasing to a billion, just above a billion, in the outer year of the MTF period. If you look at it, the new grants, the first allocation in the first year is 6.2 billion, and it increases up to 8.1 in the outer year of the allocation of the MTF period. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. This Strathland, Chair, is without some of the key risks and challenges. As you'll see, that this has not been a cast and paste process, as new things are happening within the sector and with the new mandate and outcome aid. Some of the issues will relate to the process of ensuring that provincial and local authorities have sufficient capacity to undertake some of the national programs and projects, taking cognizance of the challenges that we have been facing in the sector, and also to ensure that there is efficient strategic coordination within provinces and municipalities, particularly in relation to the new grant, in terms of our systems and planning, and in particular with regard to the provision of bulk infrastructure, which has been always a challenge, which we are now beginning to address, and also to ensure that we live within the mandate of this department, which has fundamentally changed in ensuring that we continuously provide socio-economic amenities in various human settlement projects moving forward. And that will make sure that, therefore, shortages in terms of bulk infrastructure and under capacity to support human settlement functions are dealt with effectively. And also, Chair, to ensure alignment of our programs and projects in relation to outcome 8, within which the minister, the department, is being measured against as we move on. The matter in relation to fraud, corruption, and mismanagement requires our special attention as we move forward, Chair, and we will make sure that we continue with the process that we have started in terms of the presidential proclamation of ensuring that we continue to root corruption within the sector. This remains a challenge. We therefore, Chair, would like to make sure that we improve on our institutional capacity for the sector to make sure that we respond appropriately to our mandate and to the Strathland that is being presented today. And obviously, Chair, we all know that the expectations of which is the constitutional expectation of our people on the ground and their aspirations are met. And we hope that the Strathland will begin to do that. That will mean that we'll have to make sure that we put measures in place in dealing with our challenges by monitoring and oversight of human settlement output, and also, Chair, to indicate to you that as we have made an undertaking in this committee that we are going to establish a national program management unit to support provincial municipal program management. We have taken a giant step in ensuring that it's happening. We have since developed terms of reference for this unit, which should be located in the office of the Director General at national level. We have also emphasized in the presentation that we did, Chair, with our respective strategic partners for implementation, that is the provincial departments, through MINMEC structures, the importance of establishing capacity structures within their own units to make sure that there's alignment of monitoring and evaluating our programs on the ground, and they have agreed to move with us towards that particular direction. And that will also emphasize that we continue to therefore develop capacity to sustain the relationship that will be informed by our Strathland and ensure that there is compliance, continuous compliance with PFMA and MFMA as we continue to work together in this sector. And that also calls upon the establishment of basic services task team to coordinate national central planning, and that will call upon on the improvement of IGR planning, coordination and cooperation. So there's going to be quite a number of new structures, Chair, to be established to mitigate the challenges that we have and make sure that we align and streamline our activities based on the new developments that have happened in the structure. This process, Chair, has been a very consultative process. We have tried our level best to make sure that we incorporate inputs that have been received by your committee, and I would like to take this opportunity to thank the members for continuous engagement, which has
to some degree solidified our strat plan as we move forward. And also we have involved everybody within the sector at a national level as well as the ministry. We therefore table this particular plan to you for your consideration, Chair. We thank you.
Thank you very much, DJ. It's time for interaction. Members, I think I need your guidance here. The HDA, would you like that HDA to present, and then we engage the department once and for all, or would like to engage with this particular presentation? Honorable Stay.
Sure, I'd like to propose that we finish this particular presentation.
This one?
Yeah.
All right. Is there any other
Thank you, Chairperson. Can I just make a general comment before I put questions? I'd like to ask the department, and perhaps we need to tell all the other entities that's going to appear before us, that they should, when they've completed their presentations on their laptops or computers or whatever, that they actually do a printout and have a look and see, first of all, if it's eligible, if one can read it. And then secondly, particularly with this one, I don't know what slide it is, but it talks to outcome 8. Now, we unfortunately, even though we get it the day or so before electronically, we work off hard copies. And, Chair, if you look at this particular slide, which has got very important information, it's completely blank, or black rather. The information is blacked out. And it's the one on outcome 8. So if they could look at that type of thing and then obviously adjust their presentation to suit a printed copy. Human settlement priorities, outcome approach, outcome 8. Then, Chairperson, I want to start with my last question first. Last year we had a problem with, that's the one. I mean, if we look at the printed copy, you can't read anything on this. Chair, last year we had a particular problem where provinces' business plans were not aligned to the national department. And my first question, therefore, is, and I heard what was said, that there was some sort of talk with provinces and municipalities. But, in fact, have we overcome that problem? That's my first question. Then, secondly, I concur with your sentiments, your opening remarks regarding the accreditation, Chairperson. What I would like to know is, I read a statement by the minister that he did on Friday. And in his statement, which comes off the website, it says that Etiquini was not accredited. However, the next morning on the plane from Durban, I happened to read the Mercury, and there was a statement in there by the MEC that they have got accreditation at Etiquini. So if I could just have some clarity as far as that is concerned, Chairperson. Then, again,
I want you to put clearly your concern is the inconsistency.
Well, my concern is that the minister in his statement of the department's website.
That is an inconsistency.
Yes, he says.
Yeah, because I want you to we beg it, because Kauteta Ngandoba, with Daily News, the statement was like this: this is an inconsistency of reporting, whoever was reporting.
Well, I really just want them to say, do they have accreditation or don't they? Because according to the minister's statement, they don't, but the MEC put out a statement and said they do.
Mr. Singh, I think your concern is the inconsistency of reporting to VIRAS, because once you take a statement to media, it has to be a credible one. It might happen that information, during the course of transmitting to other media, there was that inconsistency. Because now we are receiving a report. We are not referring to the media. Here is the report that reflects how many municipalities that has been accredited. But it's not that your point is not important. But I wanted to assist you to talk about the inconsistency in reporting. It might have, so we have to check who gave that information. I mean, information that is not appropriate. Your point is important, but I wanted to assist you so that we must not argue. As the municipality, Tekwini has been accredited, because it is here. This is our report that we have to rely on it as the portfolio committee. But that concern is very much important. Are you happy now?
Not really, because this report before us today doesn't say which municipalities have got accreditation.
It does.
The one that we've just been given.
It does. The municipality has been mentioned, even the one that has been circulated to members, even by the staff of Parliament. Because now I don't have what you are having. I'm having an original document that was circulated that was sent by the department, and then our staff circulated to the members. So those municipalities are there. Itewin is there. Lipalale is there. Ngawung is there. So I don't know which document are you having.
Yeah, so I've got their document, and it doesn't say which municipalities, but if they can give us clarification. Then, Chairperson, the...
We have a settlement development grant allocation. It's the second page from the last. It's Nelson Mandela, Buffalo City, Eastern Cape, Mangaung in Free State, Gauteng, Joburg, Ekurhuleni, Tshwane, as well as Ithekwini, Leliphalale, Cape Town. You don't have it?
It's not correct. They're two different things.
Can I correct?
Chairperson, we do have that is the urban settlements development grant and not the accreditation. I understand them as being two different things.
Thanks, Chair. I think it's important that before maybe we deal other questions, we clarify. Yes, Chair. Yes. Chair, yeah. We have an allocation that has been made for urban settlement development grant, which is a new grant. I think it's important to state that some of the identified allocations for this grant relate also to the metros that have been accredited. Now, there are only two.
Sifuna I metros is accredited.
Zonke, Chair.
Sifuna zonke, we have to know.
Zonke, Chair, is the current metros, all of them have been accredited, including Ethekwini. Now, 1st of April, we've been made to understand that Buffalo City and Mangaung will become metros, but not as yet. So they have not been accredited as yet. However, they are going to be recipients of the grant. So if you see in this slide, Chair, we have Buffalo City and Mangaung. They are already recipients of this grant in our budget for this year. However, they are not as yet metros. They will become metros come 1st of April. That process has already been undertaken. You will then, Chair, notice that within the accreditation process that you have referred to, there are municipalities that have been accredited who do not form part of this allocation as well.
We need that report about these municipalities that have been accredited. We want that report. Why did you miss this? Because this is very much important to us.
Chairperson, I'm subject to correction. The DG is saying all these other metros apart from Mangaung and Buffalo City are not accredited. But if my memory serves me well, we were in Etekwini, and according to them, they were not yet accredited.
That is why this report is very much important.
Because only the thing, all right, was no inconsistency in reporting. So, sifuna ke ngoku na ke eyona report accredited, which municipalities has been accredited. Because ngoku wena, I took as if these municipalities that are listed here has been accredited. That was my understanding. But now, we need you to clarify which municipalities have been accredited.
Thank you, Chair. Okay, Chair, I'll just mention them. I've simply said six metros. Let me just mention all municipalities that have been accredited. Nelson Mandela, City of Joburg, Ekurhuleni, Tshwane, Ethekwini, Cape Town, and then two districts. Francis Barth District, Pietersburg District. That gives us eight. Those are officially accredited as of last Friday.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the same slide, I see Lephalale. What is happening about Lephalale? On the same slide, what am I doing? Lephalale is receiving the grant, but they are not yet accredited. But Maakamla.
I think Chairperson, according to the report of the minister, he said there will be seven metros and two municipalities that will be accredited. When was the report on the media?
Detained by the media. Let's not stress kakhulu indaba ye media. Masingafaki pressure kakhulu indaba ye media. Because only the state. We say lead, we have taken a lead on the inconsistency. So, masinga challenge in the chat of media. Let's challenge the information that we are receiving here. What is the correct information? Let's get the correct information from the department. See, culture of media. But you are seeing culture because each department of human settlement has got a responsibility to make a follow up on the report that has been published by the media. So let's come back to this meeting. See a pump. Concern DG as municipalities, and then we'll continue engaging.
Thanks, Chair. I've just requested my COO to double check that the Honourable Member Steyn has made a reference to the fact that one of the statements came from the website. So which might be the inconsistency, Chair, that you are talking about. I can confirm in this meeting that Ethekwini was accredited last Friday. I can confirm that. But I've just asked the CEO, because if there was an inconsistency on our own website, then that becomes a problem. So we need to clarify that this happened last Friday, so we may not have been able, myself I have not gone to our website and see what information has been posted by who. But I want just to make sure that we confirm all the municipalities which the minister has done that. Unfortunately, that was not part of our presentation. So what we're
saying, in mistake of Kufa is the media, so I portfolio committee, it causes a problem. but ke sithenge siyayivala in future ufuneka niqaphele ngoba kokuqala kwane na you have got a responsibility ukuthi nani sibone ukuthi asinibizi just nisiqhwebe nithi portfolio committee we have got this issue we want to take it out can you give us ixesha silizame lunge evening because njengoba siyi-portfolio committee siyova outside it's embarrassing siyova kwi-media but we are the members of this portfolio committee but we are not penalizing you now but next time we will strongly condemn that one otherwise now sisayibamba sisayigcina kule ndawo esikuyo ukuthi at least ngoma ngona siyaxabana ngosulwa nge-information esiyifumene kwi-media of which isidlela ixesha loo nto leyo unnecessary let's continue okay. with the
Chair, I can confirm that those 8 are the municipalities accredited. The ones that I've mentioned, I can read them again. Nelson Mandela, City of Joburg, Ekurhuleni, Tshwane, eThekwini, Cape Town, Francis Baard District, and Peace Lake Assembly District. Thank you.
We moved off this subject, but what I want to ask regarding accreditation, we just come from an oversight visit. And we our experience has been the municipalities have actually been signing contracts, even though they didn't have accreditation. So I'm putting a question mark over this whole accreditation process. And in light of what the DG said, that there's municipalities that will become metros, and it's almost automatic that they will get accreditation. So I'm putting that question mark over that whole situation, Chair. Then, just very quickly, what I want to ask, I noticed one of these targets is 400 households by 2014. Now, in last year's report, it was 500,000 households. And I'm just, it's not an inconsistency, I just want to know why the target has been reduced, Chair. Then, it's a fairly thin report, so there's not much that I'm going to ask about the figures and so on. What I do want to ask, however, in the transfers and subsidies over the MTEF period, is that we've just approved recently, and hopefully in the next financial year, the Ombuds Services Bill will be gazetted. There's no provision here for that 20 million that was asked for to establish it. And then lastly, Chairperson, I am concerned about these challenges and risks and so on, and we often get it with every, every entity. I think what we need to start getting is when a challenge is posed, we need to get from that particular presenter what they propose to do to solve that challenge, to get some sort of resolution, because it's often repeating. So you can go back 3, 4, 5 years on these reports. It's the same challenges every single year. And in this case, for example, Chairperson, again, if we look at monitoring and oversight, I'm talking with hindsight of our visit last week. It was very clear that there was very little monitoring and very little oversight, either by the department, by the provincial department taking place. So we get these continuously as challenges, but nobody seems to actually bother to resolve this challenge. And I think it's important that we then get, or we should ask them, you've identified it as a challenge. What are you going to do in the short term to address that challenge? Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Just two questions. Unfortunately, the slides are not numbered, but the first slide I will refer to is the slide entitled Strategic Outcomes. Paragraph improves access to basic services. I see there on the target on water, sanitation, and electricity, the target that the department has set itself are quite high, and that's appreciated. But then the target for refuse removal, to me, is really low. I would like to know the reason for this. Are we saying that we are unable, for example, to remove
people to remove a refuse from wherever we're supposed to remove it. And if we're not able to do so, what happens to the hygienic conditions?
You
can't hear me.
Oh.
You want me to repeat the question? I think the DJ has heard me. Oh, thank you very much. The second question, Chairperson, is based on the total budget over the medium term. I noticed that the budget generally is increasing from one year to the other. Whether you are talking about the total budget, which in my slide here increases from 22 billion to 26 from 2011-12 to 2014, or whether you are referring to the transfers and the subsidies, in particular the urban settlement development grant, and actually also the human settlement development grant. Generally, the budget is increasing from over the medium term. Right, that's quite encouraging. But then at the same time, it brings a certain question to my mind as to whether it actually causes some concern as to whether this is because the demand on accommodation is increasing. This is what we are indicating, that the demand on accommodation will keep on increasing in South Africa. If that is the case, does this mean the efforts that have been made so far, providing accommodation, providing housing for our people, are not yielding the results that we'd like to see? In other words, the results that would be that the demand for accommodation would keep on, would decrease. In which case, then I would have expected the budget to decrease over a particular midterm. Or does this have anything to do, for instance, with the birth rate in our country, the population increasing, and therefore the department realizing this and therefore making provision for the fact that the African population keeps on increasing, probably at a quite high rate? And shall we ever get to a situation where, for instance, instead of the people looking for accommodation, but accommodation will look for the people as it is in some countries where you find a big building unoccupied because the population has reduced, and therefore you find that there's so much accommodation that accommodation is actually looking for the people. Thank you, Deputy.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I was checking on program and sub-program plans for the eradication of informal settlement. Well, what I want to find out from the department, actually, are they serious about this eradication of informal settlement? Because if you can check this outcome 8, it shows that only 400 household informal settlement, if they want to accelerate the delivery of housing. So I want to find out the mechanism that they have, because they are talking about 2,700 the informal settlement in the country, but they are targeting only 400 households. And another one, Chair, is that coordination of IGR, because we cannot just always talking about that they are going to coordinate that IGR, but if you go to municipalities, there is nothing that has been coordinated. We was there at the province of KwaZulu-Natal, it shows that there is no coordination in that province. So what is the department doing to help them? Another one, Chair, is that the performance. No, it's about transfer and subsidize. If you can check the national urban reconstruction and housing agents, is 1 million. So what I want to find out, what informed them to be standardized is only 1 million per quarter. One, I don't know, the transfer and subsidizes per year, because they talk about 1 million per year. What informed that 1 million to be standardized? And then Social Housing Regulation Authority, capital restructuring. It shows that in 2012-2013 will be doubled, because in 2011-12 is 226,168, but on 2012-2013 is 427,401. What informed this doubling of this medium term? Yes. And the last one, Chair, is the I don't know this slide. There is no numbers of all this slide.
Page 2 from the last page.
I was just want to find out this urban settlement development grant allocation, because if you can check this, what informed the department to include other municipalities? Because if you are talking about the municipalities and the district, there's a lot of municipalities which need help. And the whole of this document, there's nothing that has been said about HOSEP. So I don't know what is happening. Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. But when they talk about Udlamini, it's not me. Chairperson, I want to thank the department for the presentation. Although we always have some questions and fears, as we've been through the oversight last week, we can see that there is no communication between the two spheres, like the province and the local. Now, it worries us because we don't follow the money that we transfer to them. That's the first point that I want to make, Chairperson. Now, on page 4, programs and sub-programs. Objective statement provide necessary and relevant support to the three spheres of government to enhance service delivery. Now, that is the problem that I have. How are we going to build a relationship between these three spheres of government? Do we have a plan to do that? If we don't, then I don't know. Then the other question, Chairperson, is the question of strategic priorities of government, where you see we talk about work, and what do we mean when we talk about decent work? Because to my knowledge, decent work is when you know permanently that you're working for that company and you can do your budget. Now, you talk about decent work. Now, I want to know. And then the other last question, Chairperson, intensify fight against crime. Now, I always say we are the culprits, because we're building houses. They stand for 1 year without any occupying. Now, that is a big problem. And then the second point on crime, we are giving the people the right to sell their houses. And then we complain about crime. How do we look up to what can we do to stop that? Now, firstly, if you build houses for the sake of building houses, we're creating problems, because we don't have beneficiaries. Some of the municipalities are doing that. I think I'll stand there, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Perhaps I could just pick up on that discussion, first of all, on the accreditation of municipalities. And just from the question, I sense the problem comes between the difference between an accredited municipality and what that means, and then the urban whatever fund. And I think we need a clear explanation about that so that everybody does understand. Because even in the accreditation program, it's a level 2, it's not a level 3. And I think we need to understand the difference between that, and then I think it will be a lot clearer. First of all, also just secondly, in the slides, and you've apologized for some of the things that have been left off, but I think we need to be just a little bit careful. In the one slide, we're referring to tiers of government, it's spheres of government. In the budget slides, there are a couple of them that if you're just reading it, you don't know if it's millions or billions, but it's been clarified today, so we do understand. And if you look at those, you'll see they're written and it doesn't indicate. But I think we need to be careful of that. I want to perhaps then go to the questions. I also have the same concerns about the IGR, and I think it's all coming out of our visiting KwaZulu-Natal last week, so I won't repeat on that. But just to refer again to something which has happened in KwaZulu-Natal that caused a huge problem, and that is the reporting on taking away money from the province. And I don't want to get into that thing. But I think my question is, and you say, you know, you're there to support, how do we make sure that the money's allocated? And I think your systems now are going in that direction, so that's very good. That provinces are not in this situation, and in future, of course, municipalities, where they will get to the end and then lose an allocation. So I'm saying, are you sufficiently now capacitated and reorganized so that perhaps we don't put a province in the same situation again? And then just on that urban, what's it called, that big long urban settlement development grant, on what basis did you allocate that per municipality? And I would also like to know whether you have the capacity and you're aware of having to monitor the spending of that money so that the money is efficiently spent and where it should be spent. And then I want to thank you for your presentation, because I think we're definitely moving in the right direction. It's going to be a lot easier for us to exercise our oversight. When you come to your selected performance and operations indicators, and sorry, we don't have numbers for these, but I'm just concerned, and I'm sure it's going to come out in the detail later on, when I see, for example, the 300,000 indicated here between 11, 12, and 12, 13, and 13, 14. And so in the President's State of the Nation, he talks about the 400,000. It doesn't seem to me as if it ties up. And then, you know, in the municipalities, is this whole program holistically going to come together in order that we produce that by 2014? Perhaps when we get down to the detail, we'll be able to look a little bit more carefully at the figures and see that it actually does tie up. But does all of that, your planning, the overall planning, bring us back by 2014, that we won't then at the last minute be coming here and saying, oh my gosh, no, we didn't deliver that, but why didn't we? And we haven't exercised our proper oversight over that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the selected performance and operations indicators, you mentioned number of rural households provided with basic infrastructure for water and sanitation. Is this achievable or is just a wish list? Because what we saw on the ground is unacceptable. So the numbers that we put here, we put them just to for the sake of putting them, or is it something that we wish to achieve in future? Then another thing, the Rural Housing Loan Fund. As a person from the rural areas, I think I'm representing all the rural areas around South Africa. I'd like to know how many have benefited from this Rural Housing Loan Fund. We have professionals in our rural areas. The Housing Development Grant Allocation to provinces, what criteria are you using, given the fact that Northern Cape have the lowest allocation so far? And on the issue of corruption, we know that we have this special investigating unit. I'm afraid that we are not doing enough, as this thing kept on crawling. I leave it there. Then on the issue of oversight, how are you planning to do this? We are from KZN. The province sometimes doesn't know anything about your projects in the province. It seems to me there is lack of communication between the national department and the provincial department. Then how are you going to do oversight if your counterpart doesn't know anything about this? Thank you, Chairperson.
The issue of this the funding, where do you allocate the SIU? An administration, all right, no. It doesn't need to double check that one. I wanted to check, what is the relationship between the PSA? Yes, because with the PSA, we have the understanding that we are a provider, a support to municipalities, because I think we do have DPSA. So, la do you second do provide the capacity to second your officials, because I think you raise the issue of incapacity now and again. What is the relationship there? And then I want to know the issue of Palama. What role Balama is playing within the department? And then the last one is about the state of the national trust. President Uchilo Wati Ulonya is a year of job creation. And it is our fundamental attitude to the president. All departments will align their progress with the job creation imperative. Utho njalo. But in the natural presentation, I call a sense as if se uvala moya ukuthi nina ni ngokwenu I plans and yayazi the se kutsho kodwa I state plan senu is it aligned with the state plans of the province? We've got a concern. Even no municipalities who have been to KZN, they know that there is no synergy at all. Now there's this. How are you relating? With the Act President, we have introduced a new growth path that will guide our work in achieving these goals. We've seen the premise that the creation of decent work is at the center of our economic policy. If we remember very well, Minister Patel, our presenter is third plan back. Who housing? Who is first? We can call first goal, or we can call whatever. But who is first priority? All our assistants to create these jobs. But Nina, I will condo any detail up. Lord, it's a real, real concern. The other issue, President, that our development or our infrastructure development program enables us to expand access to basic services and to improve the quality of life. This includes projects for the provision of water, electricity, and housing. Now, a question I'm up. You have signed a delivery agreement with UCOP. What have you done with water? Because Java is very we oversight. I'm thinking I am man. What are you saying about the electricity? Where are the delivery agreements? So I think those issues are very much important. And besides, don't create jobs directly. But you have to, before you come here, you sit down with your partners, you plan together, so that when we, because even those partners, we have got a social cluster, they have to come before the cluster and account. So if you don't do that, this is a running thing. And yes, as you take me to a family with your creation, that's a straight plan saying, this is fun as it is to say, that, Uti, Nibon Uti comes by the end of this year, so that is on evaluator. Nayo. Then, kube khona issue ya render. No problem, guys. I said, nobody is monitoring the rent. Uta one was a patala rent, the final legal, and nobody is busy. Say business. Upakelwe hapa sizidoki thina as government. Urhulumente idoki. Bantu bayaqabela, bathi babafumane izirenta ntoni le-social housing, babuye nguna ke bafake irenti ezingaphezulu. So i-monitoring yethu iphi ithini apho? So I think those issues, I think it is important ukuthi esibonisane. Enkosi.
Same thing. I don't want to whether you do have the relationship with COGTA. Because we're at Nambi in La Street, where there were some disasters there. That also involves the human settlement. Do you have the relationship? Do you talk to each other? Thanks.
Honorable Chair, honorable members, We thank you for your questions. My team will assist in responding to some of the questions and concerns that have been raised. Chair, this is a high-level presentation. I must indicate that it's not an itemized budget. That is in relation to the question of the ombudsman, and I'm sure that within the administration budget, of which the legal department is part of, that will be definitely covered. I can assure members that the budget for that will be covered within that. So it's not an itemized budget, but that component will never be lost, Chair. The issue that seems to be coming quite strongly from the members and different members of this House relates to the issue of capacity for monitoring, evaluation, and monitoring of the programs and projects that will be running from human settlement. Chair, in the presentation, we have highlighted this as a challenge, but over and above that, we have also indicated what I regard as a giant step that we have taken as a department to establish the PMU unit, which we have spoken about for quite some time, which will happen before the end of this month. As we start on the new financial year, Chair, this unit will be up and running. As I've indicated, we have developed the terms of reference. This matter has been effectively discussed with all heads of departments within the sector in all 9 provinces, and we have agreed collectively that we'll establish a system of tracking of all human settlement projects starting the new financial year. We have even made an undertaking, Chair, that to avoid the problem of rectification, there is going to be any new project that will be rectified. However, that will only happen once we have a very effective monitoring component on the ground, assisted by established institutions to make sure it happens. But that's going to start by us establishing that unit. As I'm saying, Chair, when the new year kicks next month, this unit in my office will be up and running, and it will be linked with all 9 provinces. The business plans for all provinces, Chair, based on the budget allocations, which should have been submitted on the 3rd of March. I'm sure that they are incoming. And based on that business plan, we'll then develop a tracking system, a monitoring system, evaluation system of all human settlement projects. So that capacity, Chair, has been established. We went further, Chair, because we knew this will also increase our budget. We then engaged Treasury on this matter. Treasury agreed with us, and the budget has been already set aside. So there will be no excuse for not implementing this. Over the MTF period, Treasury has given us an amount of 15 million, which we'll be spending 5 million per annum. So this particular unit for me is fundamental because it will begin to mitigate some of the challenges that we have had around this area. And I think that's an issue that Honorable Steyn and Bormann have raised quite sharply. And that's how we intend to deal with this. If we don't get this right, everything else will fall apart. That's how we have taken the giant step in ensuring we deal with this. So it's not just a talk shop, Chair. We have put in place systems that will be dealing with all of this planning, monitoring, and the implementation of the business plans to avoid a situation that we have referred to where at the end of the financial year we start using the law to determine the financial performance of our performance areas in the sector. Chair, I was talking to my colleague. I think it's imperative that we also do present around the issue of accreditation. I think it's critical. I know this process started a long time ago, 4 years ago, and accreditation is only taking place now. After a long process of negotiations and assessments that have taken place, I'll appeal to you, Chair, that you allow us to do a full presentation on the accreditation process, what has transpired in the past, how accreditation has been done to the selected municipalities, what is the future plan with regard to the accreditation, so that members can also be on board. I will ask for a special presentation, Chair, just to do that. The issue of oversight, Chair, which has been raised, will be dealt with effectively through the unit I've made reference to. But again, Chair, for the first time, I think human settlements does not have a luxury of not taking the advantage of the IGR framework. Once it's a framework, Chair, all that you are doing currently will not be successful unless the IGR component is taken quite seriously through an implementation strategy. For the first time, we are bound to communicate effectively with our provincial counterparts and the metros who will be beneficiaries of the new grant. That requires effective working relationship between the spheres of government, because even though metros will be beneficiaries of the grant, but the projects that they will be embarking on exist in the provincial sphere of government, whilst national department will be responsible for disbursing the monies to the respective spheres. So the issue of an IGR, Chair, it's crucial, it's imperative. We must make sure we implement it with the identified metros. And part of this unit that I'm referring to will be responsible for that from my office. And as I'm saying, Chair, it's not something that we can do or not do. It's a must. To get this work, to get this grant to be effectively implemented, to deal with park infrastructure issues which have always been a critical issue for non-performance on the ground. I can make examples of a number of projects that have not gone through because of the challenges of park. Now that opportunity has presented itself with a new grant, managed, controlled by the National Department of Human Settlements, that presents us with a great opportunity to improve on our IGR framework and begin to interact more effectively with the selected metros and the provincial departments. I think the accreditation to some degree does help as well, because it also talks to all metros, of which all metros will also be beneficiaries of the same grant. So the IGR framework will need to take advantage of that and use it as an oversight and to follow where the money is presented. Chair, with regard to the question you have raised regarding the DBSA, yes, Chair, we do have a relationship with DBSA because of the capacity that they have at their disposal. As a department, we also have a memorandum of understanding with DBSA to use their services where we require them. In the last 2 weeks, we also had a formal meeting with the team from DBSA to identify areas where we think we need their services, particularly in the area of sanitation as well. We had that meeting using the MOU. So we do have that relationship and would like to take advantage of that relationship where there is a lack of capacity as we implement our human settlement project. Palama as a government institute expects us to provide to them training areas where we need training as a department. So as we develop capacity internally, we will also be consulting them where we think there is a shortfall and identify where we need certain skills for them to train our people, to empower them with new skills that will talk to our new mandate. So we do have Palama at our disposal to take advantage of at no cost to the department as well. Not yet, Chair. We have not yet. What we are doing through the strategy process is also to look into the shortage of skills that are critical for the department that you don't have and then submit a proposal to Palama to assist us with the skills that you require. We are in the process of that through the strategy process. The job creation issue, Chair, that you have raised is quite a critical issue. Last week, Thursday, before the MINMEC on Friday, Chair, we had a meeting with all HODs in the sector throughout the country, together with the executive of the National Department of Human Settlements. This was an item on the agenda. Why we had this item on the agenda, Chair, was to ensure that as they present their business plans in terms of the projects that they will be doing for the next financial year, would like them to quantify the nature and the types of jobs that they'll be creating. This was an item on the agenda for the purpose of ensuring that once we have received the business plans, we'll also be able to measure in each project they do what kind of jobs they're going to create, permanent, semi-permanent, and so forth. In the industry, we also went further to design a framework of how we define different types of jobs in our sector. So we are taking this quite seriously. As we get the business plans must not just tell us about the project, but it should go further and also indicate how many jobs will be created over what period of time over the MTF period. And all accounting officers from different provinces have committed to do that. So it's a matter which we have taken to our technical MINMEC. In relation, Chair, to our relationship with COCTA regarding the issues of water, electricity, and so forth, we have started a new structure, Chair, that deals with COCTA. We first had a joint COCTA MINMEC as a department, which was meant to begin to identify strategic areas of cooperation based on the outcome-based approach because of the linkage that we have between outcome 8 and outcome 9, COCTA being responsible to provide basic services. We support COCTA as a department in terms of our outcome. However, COCTA remains the core department to provide basic services. The latest development, Chair, is that water has become a critical component, Department of Water Affairs, regarding the provision of services. The first meeting, Chair, which is a step towards the right direction, is going to be a joint technical MINMEC, which will be taking place this Friday at 2, which will be made up of the Department of Water Affairs, COCTA, and human settlements to begin again to look into the issues of synergies that we need to begin to deal with as we provide our services. This will be the first meeting
of the technical min-mag. On the 31st, Chair, of this month, then there will be min-mag, a joint min-mag of the Water Affairs Department, COCTA, and Human Settlements. So the meeting we're having on Friday is basically a pre-meeting by officials in planning for that meeting at the end of the month. So that relationship has been established. Again, this will be a historic development in the manner in which we are structured. Chair, I think I will close that with the high-level issues and ask my colleagues to respond to some of the technical issues that have been raised. Thank you. CFO.
Thank you, Chair. On the question of the allocation of the grant to various provinces, the criteria being used, Chair, is a formula approved by MINMEC, and it's a formula which takes into account various aspects. For example, it takes into account the housing need based on steps SA figures or in reports. It takes into account population of the province and various aspects. So the allocation is formula based, and it takes into account various aspects in respect of each province. With regard to RAF allocation, the allocation is actually allocated to the public entity, and it is their mandate to handle loans to the rural communities. I'll hand over to Neville to end with any other questions which have not been addressed.
Can I just, before we hand over, I don't think the question was regarding the grant and the criteria for allocating the housing grant, but it was to do with the urban settlement development grant, whether that is the same criteria that is used.
Chair, I'll respond to that. Chair, just to complete that, in relation to the Urban Settlements Development Grant, what was done was that, and as when we come back, we'll probably give the committee sort of greater insight into it. The Urban Settlements Development Grant is a consequence of the moving of what was called the Mixed Cities Grant, which sat with COCTA, to us. And there's been a collation of funds from Mixed Cities. There's also then Treasury, and then part of the grants from part of the Human Settlements Development Grant. The allocation formula in relation to that which Treasury applied was a weighted average of what the mixed grant allocations was, together with our Human Settlements Development allocation formula. So that's how you came out with those allocations. But when we come back, Chair, and it's something that we can provide, the weighted allocation takes into consideration services backlogs, housing backlogs, or a range of issues in those towns and cities. Chair, just in relation to emphasize a couple of things. I think in relation to the issue that, yes, municipalities have been undertaking developer roles, and that's part of agreements that they sign with provinces. What accreditation does is that it assigns functions to them, so program management, planning, and they then become responsible for that on the basis of what that. I think what we must be able to also understand is that accreditation is not automatic if you become a metro. So Mangaung and Buffalo City, the department will undertake a compliance assessment like we did for those for those first aid to ensure that they actually can and have the ability, or where there are certain shortcomings, we then undertake that. Because I think the process of accreditation is not just about accrediting. We must be satisfied that that municipality has undertaken that. In relation to the reduction of the target from 500,000 to 400,000, that was in relation to a presidency decision. So Chair, we're not in a position to indicate that, but it was on the basis of that. I think in relation to outcome aid, there's a very, very important fundamental developmental shift, and that is about sustainable human settlements and improved quality of household life. So it's not about chasing numbers only, but it is how do we improve the quality of household life.
Clever. Don't justify, you don't have to justify it. Why I'm raising this? If you will keep on taking back, all right, President, it's a basis. But what I want to link that with the SDA. The SDA has been, according to the State of the Nation address, they have to acquire 6,000 hectares. But they've managed to work, gone an extra mile. So don't justify something that is unjustifiable. So let's not use the State of the Nation address. Uguti Masiti development, they say, must not come back, because we still have a backlog of 2.2. So let's not justify that. I really, you challenge with your indulgence. When you come here with your official, you can't mention it, this call I would love be kissing about. Continue. I wanted to address that. Thing is unjustifiable.
No, Chair, I was going to follow that. The target of 400,000, we've indicated to both provinces and municipalities, that's the minimum. We're not asking and we're not expecting 400,000 to be the close figure. No. We're saying we've got the money and how do we extend that? Because we know that there's more than 400,000. And we've been pushing, Chair. I mean, in relation to the DG mentioned, the provincial business plan, we've been very harsh on the municipalities and we've been very harsh on the provinces, because you'll see that there's extra money that we've now got. If you add the USDG, the Urban Settlement Development Grant, and that. So we're saying 400,000 is just the minimum. We're not expecting you to deliver 400,000. We're expecting a little more. And thanks. Chair, in relation to the refuse removal targets, I mean, that target we've indicated and with, together with Department of Corporate of Governance, what we're having to understand is that every household, I mean, and the target here was every household will have access to refuse removal. What they wanting to be able to understand is whether it's or not a door-to-door service in relation to refuse removal, and it will come back to the committee on that. On the issue of the demand increases and the budget, I think the point is that in a developing country as ours, we're going to have this. We have the inherited backlog, we have the growth backlog, we have the So our backlogs are, I mean, and one of the other important things, Chair, is that as our citizens grow, their household sizes decrease. So that also has a marked improvement. I mean, if you take in 1994, our average household size was 4 persons per household. That's dropped to something like, I think it's about 3.1. So that also has an impact. So as we develop, as young families move out of their parents' households, visa. The issue of SHRA, I mean, you'll see that the Social Housing Regulatory Authority, there's the capital restructuring grant, and that is the money that they must utilize to be able to fund construction of facilitate construction of affordable rental housing. And then there's also some money that we've allocated to provinces in terms of our targets in relation to the 14.9 billion as well as the 6.2 billion there. In relation to the communication, I mean, the DG's emphasizes we have that, and I think it's important that we indicate that there's a number of forums, and perhaps we need to bring that shows how this department, we try and ensure that there's coordination. Member Bowman raised the issue, spheres. Municipalities and provinces, when they want to claim independence. But I think what we've indicated, Chair, as the national department, is we have national development goals, and those are non-negotiable. So the oversight that you play plays an important role, and we hope through what the DG has presented today in the strategic plan, we've been able to respond in some way to that. What we need to also understand, Chair, is that there are some very conflictual relationships that exist, which we need to be able to run between municipalities and provinces. You've seen that yourself. You've probably seen that yourself. And we, Chair, and we sit, and our responsibility is not about personalities. It's about what the underlying development objective is. And it's sometimes very difficult. And I suppose the accreditation process and that miscommunication, or not miscommunication, but what happened on Friday is one aspect of why that happened. In relation to, I'm just checking, the fraud and corruption, the DG has addressed that one. The DBSA, we've got an MOU with them. We've indicated that. On the rental issue, the monitoring of rents, we've had amendments to our legislation, specifically in relation to the social housing, and we've got the rental tribunals. Now, the issue that we want to be able to take up with the provinces and the municipalities is...
Repeat what you are saying. We have begun the process of amending social housing, or
The rental...
The rental housing.
I mean, that's gone through, Chair.
Oh, so it means any day tomorrow it can come to us.
I'll have to check that with the Chair. I was going to come back to the issue of the tribunal. I'll come back to you on that one, Chair. No, Chair, in relation to the rental issue, there's the rental tribunals that has been set up and is part of the Rental Act. What we are concerned about is about the extension and the ability of people to access the rental tribunals, because that is the fundamental institution that measures and monitors abuse, particularly in relation to
never. Let's agree. You are going to bring that so that we can make, because all of us are content. Not necessarily the access, even the capacity to those rental tribunals. It's a concern to us. So we are waiting for you, but certainly this Linda, good day.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Noted. Chair, I'm not sure if I think we've covered most of the points. Thanks, Chair.
Next presentation, but DG, for a very humble way they can be. I see as the National Register, and in my report, and I let a cat piece and a report, and I would tell it. We don't know what we are seeing on the ground is totally different. There's quite a lot of vacant units. There's quite a lot of houses that are half built. We don't know what is going on with the beneficiaries. So, you report something to us, something else to us, but on the ground, if they are so sad. The second point is around the issue of testimony. The issue of that was raised by Mr. Stay. Almost fall apa. I ba accredited. Was accredited the first. Asas yinguba. That is very much important. The issue of the municipalities that are signing contracts isn't a cop accredited. So what is the rule? You have not responded to the issue of hostels, you have not responded to the issue of disaster. But before you respond, as Honorable Richard, I valid chapter 2.
So, thank you very much. Of course, it's very difficult to fault the strategic plan. I think it's very thorough detail. But the point that I think the Director General was also going to attempt to address, because it's one thing to present a wonderful, detailed strategic plan and a performance. I'm not sure whether the machinery to implement this plan is well oiled. And then also, because it's one thing really to make us so happy. I'm very happy anyway, the plan really is very detailed, it's very nice. It seems that we are going to meet our target, notwithstanding that our target is a moving target. But I'm not really had shared that administratively is the machinery to assist us to deliver this plan in place. Given the fact that the president, in fact, was persuaded to come to the house and even say, no vacant position from now onward. I'm not sure whether there are vacancies in your department, whether all directorates are set up there, they will assist us to deliver this thing, because bureaucratic tendencies, you don't get rid of them very easily. And then I just hope, Chair, that really when next year comes, all of us will be extremely happy as we go to provinces by province doing our oversight function, that everything that is stated here, there will be no other argument for mitigating factors, that, you know, we couldn't do this because we didn't have the qualified staff, we didn't have these skills and these skills, because I think it's a bigger problem. Because if we take all department heads in South Africa, in terms of their plans, our super plans, but implementation as we go down there is a very strange situation. That there's no correlation between the implementation and then the results on the ground and a nice strategic plan that is always presented to us. And I think, General, I wanted to make that general comment, Chair, but I think the Director General will address it in future. Just to make us happy, really, that the machinery is a whole. Because we're not the one who implement. We rely entirely on the administrative right of government to implement all our policies. But there's always a disjunction, and that's what worries me a lot. That as I visit cases, we visited cases that then really share a lot of things that we have seen there. But on paper is very good, but when you go down, you can realize there's the disjunction. This is what an appeal share that I'm just making here, that this department is a very important anchor department on job, on water, just the quality of life of our people. It's a very, very key department. Should be able to assist us there to address this.
But at least what the time now will continue, because you have mentioned that electrification, I think the last year, we said projects that are being constructed from 2009, they will not require electrification. I don't know how far is that true. So I don't know, where do you draw the line? I think you have to come up with a clear reporting. Where do you draw the line? No more would it be the portfolio committee of rectifier, then I leave the department of rectifier. Where do you draw the line? Because now it's 2011, we're hearing the same story. So if you can try that. Masifumane
Esi.
As government as well as private sector. Iglielon, uno 9 billion for creative jobs. Then it was later last time with la 1 billion for creative jobs or SVLs. Now participating or participating in that rang any move. Another thing, so I've been really was puzzler, the 1 billion. Kalendo ye mortgage. If man so kunto bakune conflict is the guy in the province. These people about phone of account, because even they have to account even in the provinces before they got they go to the national. So when I got to corner into the Kudera. So I think we need to pass on.
Just one comment. In closing, Chair, maybe I think one of the critical aspects to get this right, it's through effective implementation. And through effective implementation, you require a well-oiled machine, which the Honorable Member has made reference to. Chair, we've raised that as an area of challenge. It's the responsibility for us to develop that capacity. As it stands, Chair, there is a disjuncture between the current capacity versus the new mandate of the department. So the skills that we have are not necessarily enhanced to be able to deliver on that. But we can commit ourselves to portfolio committee that we are going to develop that capacity. We are working towards identifying strategic skills within the sector, within the department itself and the sector, and also with our implementing agents. If we can't get the implementation strategy right, nothing will happen on the ground. We'll come back here and raise and lament on the same issues. So we are working on that, Chair. And the first step was the establishment of the unit I've made reference to. And the second step is to identify the required capacity and train people on that. So the machine as yet is not well oiled, but we are moving effectively towards that direction, Chair. And I would like to thank the members for the comments and questions raised on this presentation. Thank you, Chair.